I'm Rachel Otwell for Illinois Edition. In the contemporary art world, many artists are combining activism with their conceptual works. One such project will be on display at the University of Illinois Springfield Visual Arts Gallery. Safe Harbor, works by Diaz Lewis, opens tomorrow, Thursday night, with a lecture at 5:30 in the Brookins Auditorium and a reception in the gallery to follow. The art addresses themes of immigration and asks for social change. The duo is couple Kara Megan Lewis and Alejandro Figueredo Diaz Pereira. He joined us to talk more about the collaboration and the project.
Well, Diaz Lewis started 4 years and a half ago when me and Kara Megan Lewis met in Cuba. So at that time we started a relationship as partners and lovers first. Because of the distance, so I was living in Cuba back then, and Kara is from Kansas City. She was living in Kansas City. We were having a really hard time to keep the communication going, because in Cuba, to both receive and call outside of the country is always being really hard. And internet back then was almost non-existent. So it became really hard through that way. The communication was complicated because of the complicated relations of the politics of between Cuba and the rest of the world, and mostly Cuba and the United States. And because of that, we created the first piece that we made that was called Simultaneous Moments of Silence. It's SMS. So SMS was the system of messaging.
Text messaging?
Yeah, like text messaging that we were able to use to communicate. Or she was able to communicate with me, and I will ring her back. So using that system, we created our first piece, a photographic action, and that we translated later into a book. And of course, as we were doing that, we thought, well, we're going to have to come up with a name for a collaborative. So we used our last names, or part of our last names that was the part that was more common. So Lewis is a really common name for America. And Diaz is a really common name for Spanish speaking.
You are now living in the States permanently, is that right?
Yes, about 2 years and a half ago.
Okay, mm-hmm. And you guys are, your home base is Chicago?
Well, we were living in Chicago, and now we moved, 3 months ago, we moved to LA.
And so the lecture that you're going to be giving on Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30 in Brookins Auditorium on the UIS campus, mm-hmm. with a reception to follow. The one word it's called artivism and immigration reform. First, just explain to us what you mean by artivism.
Okay, so artivism is, I don't want to say a movement, it's more like a way of making art. Let's say, to say it in some way, that involves keeping with the ideas of contemporary art and keeping with, the ideas of revolution and evolution of contemporary art constantly, but at the same time, making your work as an activist. So you can think of somebody like Ai Weiwei or Tania Bruguera as artivists. So it's a combination between the two, artists that both have a work as activists and artists. Sometimes it becomes combined into a single thing. Sometimes, like in Ai Weiwei's case, it could be, two different activities that don't necessarily relate.
And so part of the work that you will have, it involves pillows, which mm-hmm. I guess I don't want to give too much away before people see it. But if you can, kind of explain the gist as far as, obviously the medium you're working with here is going to be brand new for some people. Most people probably haven't walked into a gallery with pillows everywhere. So just to give people a little idea of the concept behind it.
Okay. So, of course, I'm going to talk more in depth about the project in the talk. It's a project that we started about a year ago. It's called 34,000 Pillows. So it's an ongoing project. What we're trying to do is actually create 34,000 pillows that will take us about 16 years to make, or less, depending on how many people we have, working with us. So it's a really long-term project. The idea behind the pillows is that it talks about immigration and a specific law called the Bed Mandate that basically puts 34,000 people in detention centers every single day.
The idea being that there's a mandate on how many beds need filled, hence the pillows. Is that right?
Yeah, it's called the Bed Mandate. So it means that every single day there has to be this 34,000 amount of people detained in the country. And of course, it's a budgetary quota. So it means that's why the beds are, that's what the language is about, the beds, because it functions kind of like a hotel in a way. So depending of how many people are filling those beds, those prisons get paid per each of the beds that are filled. The only problem, of course, is like it's not a hotel, it's a prison. So there's people getting there sometimes only because they have, you know, not the wrong paperwork, or not, they're not documented, or they're, you know, they just got in, they got caught in the frontier. Sometimes it's even green card holders who are being detained for, you know, misregulations and misunderstandings. So anyway, the pillows are also a hybrid, you know, between the idea of that, of that bed and a body, in a sense.
And so this project, if I'm not mistaken, was started before the election, before Trump won. So obviously people have had their eye on immigration issues, even though it's in the news so much right now. Mm-hmm. There's been issues before, you know, the inauguration and the election. But has that shaped at all the way you're approaching this?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, as you said, you know, people now is way more interested in learning and knowing about this. Back then, when we started the project, we partnered with Human Rights Watch. It's an international organization that tackles human rights violations. And they were interested in specifically talking about the detention system. And, you know, they were mostly the people who were, that had a sense or a knowledge about these situations. Most of the people that we encountered as we did the project and the workshops didn't know anything about it. I mean, they did know that there is the need for immigration reform, but they didn't know the system, how it worked for Homeland Security. Another thing that totally changed the game for us is that now we heard that one of the Donald Trump's executive orders is going to be to raise the quota to from 34,000 to 80,000 a day. So we might have to change the name of the piece. We'll see.
And spend even more than 16 years.
Yeah.
So who do you think is a good candidate just for coming to check out the work or come listen to the lecture? What kind of crowd are you hoping to start a dialogue with?
Any kind of crowd. I mean, I'm mostly interested in people who live in the United States because it's specific of the United States. That means both citizens and non-citizens. So we worked at the beginning of the project, mostly we worked with a group of former detainees, people who were in detention centers and they got released eventually because of this organization that we were working with that were helping them to, you know, get released and talking with border and patrols and then all the Homeland Security to release these people that were, you know, innocent and they didn't have to be there. Of course, this is like, they don't get that many people out. But anyway, I was saying that because, for example, these people we work with, they didn't know the laws behind what they were experiencing. So they didn't have an explanation of what were the laws that were keeping them in prison. They were surprised to hear that there was a quota of 34,000 people to have to be detained every day. We're interested in citizens as well because this whole thing is being paid by taxpayer money. So we all paying for it.